1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, you'd take, Lord, the message tonight, prepare our hearts. There's a great task, I believe, Lord, you've laid upon Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You've placed it first upon the heart of this preacher. And now, God, many, many here this year have taken up the vision, taken up the burden of this idea, Lord, of daring to desire a double portion. So I would pray, Lord, as we enter now into our fall program, our fall attendance campaign, that you would use the message to prepare our hearts as we look forward to what you would have us to do, Lord. Help us to learn tonight how to increase the increase, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I don't know if you were listening. I hope so. But if you heard Brother Paul Henry's letter being read, I sat there and smiled, thinking how ironic, just like the Lord, that that type of a letter would be read right before we preach a message like this. Brother Henry seems at peace with something if you listen to the letter. He understands that his responsibility is to carry out the will of God in this matter of planting and in this matter of watering. You see, folks, there's things that are our responsibility, then there are things that are God's responsibility. Are you with me? Are you looking up here? Do you have your minds tuned in? Are you wanting God to do something in your heart? There are things that are our responsibility, and then there's things that are God's responsibility. Here, the Bible teaches us in this portion of Scripture that God wants us to be planters, to plant the seed, to sow the seed of the Word of God. Then, a lot of times, we come in after someone has done some initial planting, and we simply water the seed that has been planted. And then we see that the increase is a divine thing, a supernatural work that only God can do. We can plant and we can water, but God gives the increase. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I'm listening to you, but then I also am thinking that you're naming the message tonight, how to increase the increase. If our responsibility is planting and watering, and God's responsibility is to increase, are you telling me that there are some things that we can do that can alter the increase, that can affect the increase? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I think so many times, folks, we use this whole idea of, well, I plant, I water, God gives the increase, shrug it off, and we don't realize that there are many Bible principles that God gives us in His Word that teaches us how to get the blessing of God upon increasing the increase. You know what? How many would you agree with this? God wants to save everybody. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't have an ounce of patience with the Calvinism. Everybody always wants to get, you know, they want to grade you on some 5 points of heresy that somebody came up with. Are you a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point? I know I'm a 250-point Baptist. That's what I am. Probably more than that if I take the time to look for it. I'm a little tired of being graded on a Calvinist scale. Let me tell you what I am. I'm a whosoever will shall come. I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, don't tell me that, listen, if you believe that stuff, you need to hit an altar, get right with God. God did not create some people just for the express purpose of burning them in hell. God does not deny some people the opportunity and grace to be saved. Jesus did not die just for some people's sin and not die for other people's sin. And that's what five-point Calvinists teach, and they're 100% wrong on that. You see, folks, I've just always said this, man. You know what? If you want to find a backslidden, lazy, used-to-be fundamentalist, usually they're a Calvinist. You know what? They just got tired of running buses, and they got tired of soul winning. It's easier to sit around doing nothing and then blaming lost people going to hell on God instead of realizing that they're going to stand with blood on their hands if they don't get the gospel to every person that they can give the gospel to. I believe that what we do makes a difference. I believe it makes a difference. Say, preacher, how can we increase the increase? If we are to plant and we are to water and God gives the increase, how can we increase the increase? Let me tell you how I believe we can do that. Number one, we should, first of all, pray more. pray more. More prayer. More prayer increases the increase. Yes, God is responsible for the increase, but we can petition God and ask for more of an increase. You see, I believe in something I call prayer-powered productivity. Prayer-powered productivity. I learned something in my life. Maybe you've learned it already yourself. But you know what? I can go out and labor in the fields, and I can labor 4 hours in the fields without prayer, and I'll only accomplish this much. Or I can labor the same amount of time with prayer, and I can accomplish this much. You see, folks, prayer makes a difference as far as what is produced from our labor. Prayer-powered productivity. Let me give you this, folks. Increased activity does not guarantee increased productivity. Increased activity does not guarantee increased productivity, but prayer powers productivity. You know what? Sometimes I'll be working on something very simple in the office, and it just seems like I'm not getting a handle on it. I'm not getting it accomplished. Maybe my mind's not focused. Maybe my heart's divided. Maybe I'm distracted. And I realize that I'm kind of treading water. I'm just kind of not getting done what I need to. And I'll stop, and I'll everything I'm doing, and I'll bow my head before a holy God and say, God, for whatever reason, I'm struggling. I'm struggling either physically or mentally. I don't know if it's my spirit, my soul, my flesh. I don't know what it is, God, but this is the work of God, and it's important. And Lord, I need your help right now. There's so much I need to do, Lord. I can't afford to be sitting here wasting your time and my time. Please, God, give me focus. Give me clarity of thought. Help me to get done what I need to get done in a timely fashion. And folks, it's amazing. As soon as I pray that prayer, I'll go back to the same work. And all of a sudden, everything will start to fall into place. And everything becomes crystal clear. And all of the things seem to that I couldn't put together mentally start coming together mentally. Sometimes I'll be working on a message, and I'll just start floundering in the midst of the preparation of a message. And I'll stop and say, God, listen, I'm laboring. I'm trying. I want to be prepared. I want to do this right. For whatever reason, all these ideas, I'm not focusing. I need your help in getting this thing to come together. Boom! You know something? You just stop and pray. It's amazing how many times something that you were struggling with in the power of the flesh, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes and helps you with. Folks, what I'm saying is this. You want to help increase the increase, then pray more. You know what I would ask you to do in reference to our fall program? From this Sunday till the end of October, I would like the prayers of the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to increase. To increase, especially in this matter of praying, that God would increase our, put His blessing upon our planting, put His blessing upon our watering, and ask Him to increase the increase. Now, folks, let me say this. Prayer has some stipulations in the Bible. I think that there's a way to amp up the productivity that prayer brings. For instance, let me give you this. A portion of scripture. Can I read you the story out of Matthew 17? Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and, what's the next word, folks? You know your Bible's fasting. Now, I'm just telling you. I'm not giving you some theory. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you that when I incorporate these Bible principles into my life, it increases the increase. And in this matter of prayer, it's one thing to pray more. It's another thing to pray and to fast when you pray. I'm asking Blessed Hope Baptist Church not to just pray more in the next, between now and the end of October as we go into our fall program. I'm asking you to pray and to add fasting to your prayers. You know what? I'm in a habit of doing it this way. You can do it any way you want. Really, fasting, if you study it in the Bible, is a private thing. It's a secret thing. The Bible even instructs us that when we fast, we shouldn't blow a trumpet. We shouldn't draw attention. We shouldn't disconfigure our face. You wouldn't walk around moaning and groaning until someone asks you what's wrong and then say, well, I've been fasting. You know what? The Bible says you have your reward. That's how you get nothing out of fasting except just hungry. And if I'm going to fast, I want it to have some supernatural impact. So you don't go around telling everybody about it. You do it, but to fast for 24 hours. I would love to see folks at Blessed Hope Baptist Church say, preacher, I'll tell you what, one day a week from now till the end of October, I'll fast a day a week. Day being 24-hour period. If you eat supper on a Monday night, decide that you're going to fast, don't eat again till supper on a Tuesday night, you fasted for a 24-hour period. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you want to increase the increase. Do you want to see supernatural blessing? Do you want one of those howbeit this kind fall programs? I'm telling you that there is some ways that we impact what God is and is not willing to do. And the more we pray, and then we pray more. But in this matter of prayer, we pray and fuel those prayers by showing God that we're serious. I don't know about you, and I'll tell you right now, my flesh does not like to fast. My flesh likes to eat fast and eat often and eat things I shouldn't eat. But my flesh doesn't like to fast. But when I honor the Bible principle, I will tell you this, God increases the increase in response to this. Now, some of you, look up here. Some of you are looking like I'm preaching some strange doctrine. You're looking at me like, what is going on here? Folks, this is Bible. This is the Bible. Some of you have never fasted in your entire life, and because of that, if I was to press you, you would have a hard time standing up and telling any story, any life testimony where you saw something unusual and supernatural happen in response to your prayers. Folks, the prayer, this instruction came when the disciples were trying to get an evil spirit out of the way so they could help somebody. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you go out there after souls, you're involved in a spiritual battle. And the demons of hell will fight everything you do. And you know what? One of the things this story tells me, that if you will fuel your prayers by fasting, God honors that. He'll do some things in response to that that he won't do just if you pray, or even if you pray more. Let me give you this one last thought under this thought of prayer. Number one, just pray more. But let me give you this other thought. Listen, folks, we should pray more, because prayer powers productivity. We should fast as we pray. But please listen to what I'm going to say. Prayer also must come from a clean heart. A clean heart. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear, that he will not hear. You know, I heard a Bible teacher I had one time said this in one of our classes. He said, you know what? I've watched people fast. I've watched Bible college students give up their food. I've seen them give up sleep. I've seen them pray extra. I've seen them give up almost anything to get the power of God and blessing of God upon their life, except for their sin. I remember sitting in that room thinking, wow. You know, well, I'll just pray more. Well, if you're praying now and you're dirty, praying more dirty isn't going to make a whole lot of difference. Well, I'll fast and pray. Well, folks, until you repent of that secret sin that you've been involved in for some time, you're not going to walk to God and trick him by adding fasting. Are you listening to me? Listen, please hear me, Blessed Hope Baptist. Man, I'd like to know somebody's out there tonight. I'd like to think a few of you are with me tonight. Are you awake? Are you listening to this? Some of you are so scared I'm going to ask something of you tonight that you're just in panic mode. You're just sitting there at the edge of your seat like, I wonder what he's going to want us to do. Oh, heaven forbid, you know. Why don't you just open your heart and let God do something? Don't you want to see the miraculous? Don't you want to see the blessings of God? Don't you want to see the unusual moving of God? Here's what I'm afraid may be true. We're willing to do anything to see that happen except give up our sin in this generation. We just won't let God point at things in our life. And when he does, we just hold on the pew and shrug it off and continue on forward in our sinful lifestyle. And then we wonder, and then we get in these little circles and talk about, boy, the great revivals and the great movings of God. And boy, I wonder why we'll never see that in our generation. The honest truth is we're too dirty to see it. Too dirty in our thought life. Too dirty in our secret sins. And if we spend as much time spreading the gospel as we do spreading gossip, we'd have this county won to Jesus Christ. Now, you can say, oh, here he goes again. Well, I'm going to keep going there again, because until you get some of this nonsense cleaned up in your life, you know what? You're never going to see an unusual moving of the Holy Spirit of God at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, we're seeing something. You know why? Because I think there's some folks getting it. I think there's some folks realizing, you know what? I'm going to have to clean some areas of my life up. I can't sit here and pray for sinners to get right and sinners to be saved and ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life when he's dealing with areas of my life. I said this several times last few weeks. Have you heard me? Christians, if you won't respond to the Holy Spirit of God during an invitation, why in the world would you think at this place that a lost person would respond to the Holy Spirit of God? If you're quenching the Spirit, then why in the world would you think that God would move in the lost person? We want lost people, this church, to do what we won't do. We want them to get convicted of their sin and their need of a Savior, but we won't get unconvicted of our sin and our need for sanctification. Now, until we get serious about this thing, then you know what? Pray, pray, pray all you want. But you might as well rub a lamp and wish for a genie. Because the honest truth is, God states specifically in Isaiah 59, hey, listen, I'd be willing to listen to your prayer. I want to answer your prayer. But you know what? There's some things in your life that's coming between. And you know what? I hide my face from you. I will not listen to your prayers until you get those things straight. Now, folks, listen to me. That's why. Please listen to me. This isn't a hard thing. I think when you go to God, I don't know if there's ever a time that I go to God for my prayer time that I do not start out, number one, praising the Lord, spending some time in praise and worship to my God, and then in a time of personal confession and cleansing in my own life. You know what? If I'm not willing to do those two things, it's useless for me to bring my request to Almighty God. Now spend some time glorifying God and praising God, thanking God for who he is, telling him what a wonderful God he is, and then telling him what a rotten sinner you are. Yeah, you. Yeah. You ain't no better than this preacher. Come on now. You know, the best of us, best of men are men at best. And I'll tell you what, every single one of us, you know what, just walking through this old world, you know, it's like the Old Testament ritual where they used to wash the feet. You just walk through this old world, you're going to get a little bit dirty. And you know what, if you're trying your best to live for God, at the end of the day, you're going to have to look back and say, you know what, God, there's some things I need to confess. There's some things I need to get right. Now listen, if we're going to get into this, where we're affecting the increase, then you know what affects the increase? You say, but God said he takes care of the increase. Yeah, but you know what, you can pray to that God. You can pray to that God, and you know what? You can ask him to increase the increase. Number one, more prayer. Number two, more passion. More passion. Go to, if you will, to Acts chapter 18. I talked about prayer-powered productivity, but I also believe in passion-powered productivity. More passion. Acts chapter number 18, if you will. Look at verse number 1. Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 1. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. By the way, you ought to just study the life of Paul. I know I'm always telling you to study something, but if you want to learn passion and service to the Lord Jesus Christ, study the life of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, after these things, Paul departed thence from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, and by their occupation they were tent makers. Now I love this verse. Look at verse 4. And he reasoned, talking about Paul, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. When Silvanus and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was, I love this phrase, pressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was a Christ. Now, one of the things you'll see is you'll see this little statement where Paul was stirred in his spirit or pressed in his spirit. I did a little study on the word persuaded a couple weeks ago. I haven't put together a message on it now. But you know what? Somebody said, well, you know, I want to witness somebody. I want to present the gospel, but I don't want to talk them into it. I do. You don't know your Bible. So what are you doing? Just sitting there in a robotic way saying, let me tell you how to be saved. I don't want to influx my voice that might cause you to make some kind of emotional decision. No, man, you know what? The problem is, you know why they don't get passionate about what we're saying? You know why they don't take it serious? Because we don't take it serious. You know what? Let me just say, please listen to what I'm going to say. But I think some of us are so worried about scaring people away that we just won't say what needs to be said sometimes. I've been bringing this up in our young adult class a lot. I keep telling them, you know what? Where are you going to scare them? To hell number two? Hell number three? I mean, you know what? I'm not saying be mean. I'm saying in love. But man, sometimes you just need to sit down across from somebody and passionately with a spirit that's overflowing with tears in your eyes and concern in your voice, and I mean using every skill that you have to take the scripture and try to convince them of their need of Jesus Christ. I think we just handle this whole thing so flippantly and so passionately that, you know what, they're like, well, they're not that excited about it, why should I be that worried about it? I don't want to preach like that. I don't want to witness like that. I don't want to live like that. I want people to look at my life and say, you know what? He doesn't just say he believes this stuff. You can tell he believes this stuff. He doesn't just talk about what others ought to do. He gets involved himself and he gets busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this to you bus workers that are already out there and you're already laboring. You know what? You know how you increase the increase? You get more passionate about it. Well, preacher, I've been to that house twice and I can't get him to come. Go the third time with tears in your eyes. I went with a bus worker one time that was very good, and I told him, I said, man, you're always bringing visitors. How in the world can you get some of these parents to just let the kids go? And he said, come with me if you want to. And I said, I'll go with you. He knocked on a door. A lady had a bunch of children there, and the mother was telling him, I don't think I'm going to let him go. And tears began to run down his face. I watched that man drop down on his knees and say, ma'am, I would get on my knees and beg you to let your children come to church. I promise you, I will take wonderful care of them. And he's crying on his knees. And you know what? When we left there, they had a promise to come. And the next day, they got on the bus and came. Now, I'm not saying you ought to get on your knees and cry and weep. I'm saying you ought to be willing to do whatever it takes and whatever the Lord tells you to do to let those folks know that this is serious business. See, I'm not sure that we understand that we not go to that door and we are the only one that's standing between heaven and hell for that family. We just walk and do our business in almost a robotic fashion and knock on doors and, well, they can't come. Whoop, you know, just kind of, what? What? So more passion. Paul did not live that way. He was pressed in his spirit. He was stirred in his spirit. He persuaded them. He did all he could to try to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me give you another thought. More prayer, more passion. Here's number three. More planting. More planting. Now remember, there's things that are our responsibilities and there's things that are God's responsibilities. We plant and we water, God gives the increase. Now folks, any farmer or anybody in here that's ever raised a garden will get this. You know what? If you want more of an increase, you need to plant more seed. You want more of an increase? Hey, by the way, pray for some rain. Our farmers need rain right now. They really do. And I mean that. I take it seriously. I'd like you to pray. I'd like to pray in some rain for some of our farmers in this area, some of the farmers that attend this church right now. Their soybeans are putting on right now. It's a vital, important time for us to get rain. Let's pray about that. But let me tell you something. If you don't plant very much, you're not going to have much of an increase. And if you don't get much rain on what's been planted, you're not going to get much of an increase. So you know what? Here's a no-brainer, folks. Yes, God gives the increase. Well, God gives the increase. Yeah, but we plant, we water. So if you want to increase the increase, you increase the planting and you increase the watering. Yeah, right. Yes, sir. See, I can't control how many souls get saved, but I can control how many people I talk to about the Savior. Yes, sir. Right. This whole idea that you think that you're going to witness to one person and you're going to have 10 people saved probably isn't going to happen. Doesn't look good. Are you listening to me? You know, if you're going to say, Brother Jerry, I signed up 10 new visitors. I thought I had them signed up on Saturday. Only one of them came. Well, welcome to America. I'm going to shock you, but people in Greene County, they'll lie to you. People in Sullivan County, they'll lie to you. People in Clay County, bunch of liars live up there in Clay County. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm one up. No, I mean, I live up there, but yeah. You know what? The honest truth is, you're going to have to get a lot of people tell you they're going to go before you get one that actually does come. So you know what? I've always just figured it out. You know what? If it takes me to get 10 promises to get one visitor, if I want to get 10 visitors, I better get 100 promises. And what I'm saying is, folks, listen, I know God can supersede statistics, but I'm just saying if we increase our prayer and we increase our passion and then we increase our planting and our watering, we're going to increase the increase. You don't think God doesn't look down from heaven when you ought to quit and you probably, you know, could quit, but you just get on your knees and say, Lord, you know, the truth is, you know, the yards needs to be mowed and several things, but you know what? I'm going to go an extra hour, and God, this isn't what I usually do, but I'm going to ask that you bless it. You don't think God gets on the edge of the seat on the throne of grace and says, you know what? I'm going to give them something special in this hour. I'm going to reward their increase in seed planting this hour. And so more planting. Listen, you know, one of the things we've done with our bus ministry this year is, Brother Jack, we've increased the acres. We've taken on more territory. We have. We've increased the seeds that are being sowed. We've increased the acreage. I almost brought it out here and I forgot to grab it. But you know, I've got that map in my office of our Jerusalem. I've got that map in our office of our Jerusalem. And I got to thinking, you know, these are all of the areas now that we have the diameter of the circle around Jasonville that we have the ability to pick somebody up to church. But the honest truth is, if we marked on that map how many seed were actually planted in that circle, there's a lot of places that's not getting much seed planted right now. And so we simply need to plant more. Let me give you number four. That brings us to number four by a natural extension. Now, let me say this to our bus workers who are already out there. I ask you, and I want you to pray about this. And I want the rest of you that are not in the bus ministry, you're not involved in visitation, to hear what I'm going to say. And these bus workers are stepping up. I'm going to tell you, I am so proud of our bus workers and those that have taken the effort to show up and help them in response to the pastor's challenge. I don't know what's going to happen to fall program. I don't know what's going to happen most of the time when I plan something. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm already thrilled with what God has done in 2010. I mean, we looked at the map and we rearranged some things and we moved some people around and we opened up some new areas and we split some routes and divided and reshuffled some things. And you know what? Our bus workers have risen to the challenge, and people have come up, members, and said, I'll help you do some visitation. And God is blessing that thing. He's blessing that thing. But let me say this, folks. There comes a point in time when you just need more planters. Go over to Matthew chapter number 9. We're pretty close there, a few books away. Matthew chapter number 9. How to increase the increase. More prayer. And I'm talking about a prayer fueled by fasting. I'm talking about prayer fueled from a clean life. More passion. More planting. How about this? More planters. In Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. Now understand this, folks. Jesus maximized his human potential here. He did everything he could. Did you read that? He went to villages. He went to the cities. He preached. But you know what? At this time, Jesus was in the form of the flesh. God was in the flesh. And you know what? There's so many hours in the day and so many people he could talk to in a day. And when he had maximized everything he could possibly do, he looked at the disciples. He still looked, and there's a multitude of people waiting that he hasn't got to yet. And he said, you know what, disciples? We got to start praying because we need more laborers. We need more laborers. And so that's how we increase the increase. We increase the planting, and it's fine for the pastor to go to those that are already planting. And I have. I told them, folks, I said in the bus meeting, bus workers, if you are going to see an increase and we're going to reach our goal, then you're going to have to, during the fall program, visit more than you have during the summer. I challenged them, and I think many of them will do it. I told them, not only on your Saturday visitation, but honestly, what I'm encouraging you to do for the 6 weeks there, the 6 week stretch, 2 weeks building up, and the 5 weeks of the program, is to pick out an evening. I mean, if you possibly can, an extra evening. Go out just for an hour. You may find some kids that are never there on Saturday because they're with with grandma on Saturday or something like that, and you might find them. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not going to ask them to do that and not do it myself. I already met with Brother Reiser. He knows what we're going to do. We're rearranging our schedule, and I thank God for Brother Reiser. I mean, I come to him sometimes, and we've got our plate so full, but I said, Brother, you know what? Fall program, we're going to rearrange things. We're going to take extra time ourselves, extra hours. Evenings, this preacher is going to be on the bus routes, different bus routes, helping out, visiting. Listen, what I'm saying is this, folks. If you want to increase the increase, you got to increase the laborers. Not just going to people already laboring and saying, do more. Hey, you know what? That's fine. But what about those of us that could pitch in and help? I'm not asking you to join the bus ministry for the rest of 2010 or for the rest of your life. I'm saying during 6 weeks of the program, couldn't you decide as a family that you're going to go out and help on one of these bus routes? Take a Tuesday evening, take a couple hours before supper and go out there and drive up and down and find some children out playing in a yard and go up with your family and introduce yourself and tell them about Blessed Hope Baptist Church and hand them a flyer. This is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask every single family at Blessed Hope Baptist Church between now and the end of the program to take some time and go to the bus route that you're the closest to. And listen, if you live in Linton, go talk to Brother John. Say, Brother John, what part of Linton should we go visit in? And I'm not talking about going door to door. I'm talking about driving. I taught our bus workers, I call it cruising for bus kids, all right? You just drive an area and look for that swing set or look for those bicycles parked in the front yard. Folks, I've done this hundreds of times. It's amazing. You just go look for evidence of children at a house. You go up and you bring a flyer. And I'm not saying every time you get results, but a lot of times you'll get somebody to say, yeah, I'll send them to church. You guys want to go to church? Yeah, I'll send them to church. Now listen, the bus workers are going to increase their labors. They're going to increase the seed they're already planting. But you know what they're all saying to me, preacher? Even if I increase everything I can, what I really need is more laborers. And you know what? Isn't it funny that they have come to the same conclusion that Jesus came to? That you know what? Guess what, folks? Watch this. Please look up here and listen. Please get there. It's not a matter of a handful doing all the labor. It's not a matter of a handful doing all the witnessing or soul winning or bus calling. It's a matter of the assembly, the church of Jesus Christ, saying, you know what? Listen, here's the thing. Everybody does a little, a lot gets done. You know what? You can have 10 people and tell them, you know what? You got to go out for 5 hours and do bus calling, and you'll get 50 hours done. You get 200 people to go out for 2 hours, you get 400 hours done. Are you getting this? Now, how many of you at one time worked in the bus ministry? This isn't a trick question, all right? But at one time, either in this church, another church, at some point, sometime in the history of your life, in some way, you participated in the bus ministry, raise your hand. I guarantee everybody's got their hand raised. Thank you very much. Put your hand down. Everybody's got their hand raised. You know what? You have the skill set still to go out there, find somebody, sign them up. I'd like some of you that live over by Linton to just call Brother John on a Thursday night and say, man, I'm going to believe this. I found a family. And they ride Bethel Baptist Church's buses, and I think we're able to proselyte them and get them to come. You know, especially go after Bethel's kids and Olive Branch kids, all right? You know, we want to get them in a real Baptist church, you know. So, don't do that. Don't do that. Even though I do have bus workers following those buses now and writing down addresses. Everybody does it to us. We thought we'd do it one time in our life. No. None of that's going on. I promise you, none of that's going on. Yet, unless we have trouble reaching our goal, and then we might have to resort to that. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, listen, you can go out there and you can find them. And here's what I do. Mom's dad, look at me. If you just went home and tomorrow night when you sat down to supper, if you just said, you know what the preacher said yesterday, you know what, let's set a goal. Let's set a goal during the program that God would use us in the next 5 or 6 weeks to bring 5 new families, get kids from 5 new houses. And we'll just go out one evening a week. We'll pray about it as a family. We'll go out as a family. And you know what? We're just going to cruise around and look for kids. Go up, meet the parents. And you kids come with us. And you can meet the kids. And we'll talk to them about it and say, hey, we got a excited. Listen, we got a big 66-passenger red and white limousine that drives around and picks up kids to come to Sunday school. We'll have extra bus flyers, by the way, starting Wednesday night. We'll have extra bus flyers, not just for our bus routes, not just for our bus workers. We're going to have a stack every week of extra flyers you could take. Listen, here's the thing. You could make an impact. You could make the difference. I told our bus workers something. We averaged in our spring program 198 on the buses during our spring program. We want to average 266 in the fall. Oh, my goodness sakes, brother. No, wait. What did I say that was? 14? Is that what I said, bus workers? That's 14 extra kids average a week per route. Now, the honest truth is, if the bus workers just done what they did in the spring and did a little bit more, and just pulled off what they did in the spring, there's enough families here that could make up the difference. You could just say, hey, you know what? Let's just set a goal to find 14 extra riders and help Brother John out. Let's find 14 other riders and help Brother Jeff out. Let's find 14 other riders and help Brother Greg out. Let's just go out there. And I'm not asking you to join the bus. I'm not asking you to ride the bus on Sunday. I'm saying get a concern for somebody that doesn't go to church. You have no idea what will happen in that kid's life. And I'll tell you this. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you so you better think about this before you do it. But you're going to get some kids here, and you know what? You're going to look up during an invitation, and one of them are going to walk the aisle, and you're going to be back there wiping snot and tears off your face. And you know what? I'm hoping you get so addicted to this thing at the end of the program, you think, you know what? This is a pretty good idea. I think we ought to just do this all the time and start making an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this is natural, normal Christianity. This isn't fanaticism. This is the way every church ought to operate. Everybody getting involved. Everybody getting a burden for souls. Everybody participating in some realm. Folks, Jesus nailed it right on the, hit the nail right on the head. You know what he said? He said the laborers, well, I don't know who to go with. Well, we only print that thing in the bulletin every single Sunday. Well, I don't know where to go. Yes, you do. Stop making excuses and just decide you're going to do it. Just decide you're going to do it. If you can't make the Saturday visitation, then get with the bus captain and say, give me an area. We can go Tuesday night. Come on. If you want to, you'll find a way to do it. Now, I'm not asking our church, anybody in our church, to do something that this pastor and our staff isn't going to do. Me and my wife's going to go out extra, and we're going to hit doors. And folks, don't tell me about your busy schedule. I mean that. I laugh when people tell me how busy you are. Most of you are not as busy as the man is talking to you. You're not as busy, a lot of the bus workers that still find time to do it. After a while, it's just priorities. Please listen to your preacher. Don't let this go water off a duck back. Let this sink into your heart, you know. I'll tell you, God's blessing, and I like seeing supernatural things happen around me. Man, I'm just like a kid at a candy store around this church the last few years. Woo! The last few weeks have been fun. The last several months have been a good time. And so get on board, amen? Get on board. Now, let me give you the last one. Well, we need more prayer. Yeah, we sure do. And that's where we better start. There isn't much going to happen if we don't pray. We don't get clean hands. We don't start taking seriously this doctrine of fasting. More passion. Boy, get out there and you know what? Lose your heart into it. Man, pray and go pray it up. Go with a tear in your eye. More planting. You know what? Those of you who are already planting, just take that extra hour. Take that extra evening. Just do a little more. More planters. Boy, we need everybody involved. You know what? Everybody doing a little sure makes a lot. How about this? And let me give you this. More praise. More praise. What do you mean by that? Well, I read to you in 1 Corinthians. Let me just go back there to our text. Did I mark it here? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let me go back and reread that portion of Scripture because I want you to see that, and then we'll go to one other portion, and then we'll finish this point, and we'll have our invitation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, folks, and chapter 3, yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice this. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as God gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither, get this, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now go backwards one chapter. You say, preacher, what kind of bus workers get used of God? What kind of Christians get used of God? 1 Corinthians 1:26, but you see your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, let me just give you this last thought. Let me tell you, all through the process of God's blessing, and God's doing some amazing things, some unusual things, you just remember, you just keep chucking all the praise up to the one who deserves it. You just put all of the praise and glory to Almighty God. The quickest way to stifle the blessings of God upon Blessed Hope Baptist Church is to have some people step up and decide they're going to take credit for what God's doing here. I don't want to be there. Don't you put me on that. I don't know where that spot is, but I want to be as far away from that spot as I can get. I said this, and I've heard it said, the most dangerous place to stand in the world is between God and His glory. Every good thing that happens is because of God Almighty. Every good thing that happens is because of Almighty God. So let's give Him the praise and glory for everything that happens. There's going to be a few people that get baptized tonight. You say, Brother Jerry, who gets the credit for that Blessed Hope Baptist Church? God gets the credit for that Blessed Hope Baptist. There were some three people walked out and got saved. And it wasn't because of some wonderful service. Because of a wonderful God. That's what it was because. Amen. Isn't it fun that God lets us have a little part in it and get to participate in it? And man, I'm not saying, you know what, I know somebody invited them, somebody brought them, and somebody encouraged them. But you know what, when it's all said and done, you think about what little we do and how God reached down and makes it supernatural and divine and eternal in somebody's life. We serve a good God. Now listen, don't you get around me and start taking credit for something. I'll line you out real quick. And by the way, this preacher sounds like he starts taking anything for credit. Credit for anything, you line me out real quick. That's a two-way street. Listen, I don't want to get up here and sound like Jerry Ross done anything. You know what? Let's give the glory to Almighty God. Any good and wonderful thing that happens during this fall program, let's give God the praise and the glory. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm asking you for a conscious decision, and I mean a decision, not that just is for the hour. I'm talking about something that's going to happen in your life that's going to affect your schedule. It's going to affect what you do for the next 7 or 8 weeks from now to the last week of the program on the 24th, I want to say, of October. You know what? I'm asking you to rearrange some things in your life. More time to pray, more time to plant, more planters, more laborers, more passion, more praise to Almighty God. Let's incorporate these principles, and you'll find out that even though it is God that gives the increase, God's given us Bible principles that allow us to affect the increase. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you would use these principles in our lives, Lord. Help us to be obedient in these specific areas. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are going to be baptized tonight. Bless their hearts, Lord. These two young people recently saved, wanting to obey in believers' baptism, bless them. If there's someone here without Jesus as their Savior, Lord, open their hearts to the preaching of the Bible, Lord. Do something supernatural. Lord, if there's a Christian, dear God, maybe, Lord, not really intentionally, maybe intentionally, they found themselves sitting on the bench just becoming a casual observer. Lord, I pray that you'd stir something in their hearts, God. And Lord, bless their efforts, bless their decisions, bless their labor. Lord, the labor worthy of its hire. Lord, you've never owed a man anything. You'll bless those that show up and work. And so I pray that the blessings of God will come upon their life. Help them to see that supernatural working, dear God. Help them to see somebody that they invite come to church. Help them to see somebody they invite get saved. Lord, I pray that you do a work of grace in our heart in the weeks ahead. And Lord, whatever happens, my goodness sakes, Lord, with all of my heart, as with every bit of desire in my heart, I want every bit of the praise and glory to come to go to our wonderful Savior, Lord. And so I pray that that would be so. We pray in Jesus' name.